Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We want to continue this morning looking at great Bible stories and great Bible events that we've been going through some of these Old Testament accounts on the Let the Bible Speak program. And I want to look at a virtuous woman named Ruth. If you have your Bible and would like to turn to that smaller book in the Old Testament, we want to look at goodness in the midst of adversity. We're glad that you've joined us. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. When you look at the story of Ruth, you're looking at goodness in the midst of adversity. And I want to use this story to encourage us today when we find ourselves in the midst of adversity and evil. There's no doubt that Christians today can fall on hard times. Christians today can be surrounded by evil. Some may lose a job or a spouse or family or material possessions. They might have physical handicaps. There's no doubt that Christians today can be surrounded by an evil society. Lying, stealing, cheating, abortion, crime, murder, drugs, homosexuality, hate crimes, divorce, liberal media, music and movies that teach improper values. We could just go on and on. What are we to do when we are surrounded by that? Are we to give up and give in and become worldly like the people around us? Or are we to be, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? To be a light in the midst of adversity and pain and sorrow? The answer is yes. And Ruth is an example of that. The question this morning is, how do we as Christians react to the terrible circumstances around us? We can't control the terrible circumstances around us, but we can control how we react to the terrible circumstances around us. Do we allow adversity and evil around us to keep us from serving an almighty God? We don't have to. We can have the faith and courage and example and attitude of Ruth, that I'm going to be good in the midst of adversity and evil. Can there be goodness in the midst of adversity and evil? Well, certainly so. And we see it in the life of Ruth. There were others in the Bible who displayed this kind of thing. Noah and his family, Jesus, Paul, others who were surrounded by adversity and evil, but they lived right. And the story of Ruth is the same, and I want to look at that this morning. If you'll turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. You know, Ruth carries the distinction of being in the lineage of Christ. If I'm not mistaken, Ruth is mentioned only in the book of Ruth with one exception, one other place in the Bible, and that is in the genealogy of Jesus. She has the distinction of being a part of bringing about Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, she's mentioned there. How did she end up in the genealogy of Jesus, in the ancestry of Jesus? That's what we want to look at this morning. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, the text says, "And it came to pass in the days when the judges judged, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, and the woman was left of her two children and of her husband. In chapter 1, in verse 1, the setting of this story is given with two statements that are important. The text says, when the judges judged. The little book of Ruth comes on the heels of the book of Judges as you go down through your Bible. And we had recently on the Let the Bible Speak program, looking at the account of one of the judges, Samuel, a strong man physically, but weak spiritually. And the period of the judges was a period in Israel's history that comes between the death of Joshua and the first king, Saul, and it's marked by much moral decay. The very last verse of the book of Judges says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we have similar approaches to life today. In many people, they just do what they want to do. And there were seven sin cycles mentioned in the book of Judges where Israel comes back around to sinning in a very grave way over and over again. And so this story of Ruth is set and surrounded by evil. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, whom she will marry at the end of the book, they're surrounded by evil. And they could have used this situation of evil in Israel, where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, to say, well, we're going to do the same. We're going to do what we want, just like everybody around us. But they chose to be different, to follow God's law. They could have used this situation as an excuse to do evil, and they chose not to do that. The second thing that we find in verse 1 is the physical adversity and hard times. There's a statement showing the evil or the depraved spiritual problem of mankind. And now there's also physical problems. There's a famine in the land. This famine in the land most likely is punishment from God as a result of Israel's disobedience. He told them, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, one of the curses would be that of a famine. Ruth and Naomi were surrounded by evil and moral decay, and they were also surrounded by physical adversity, where it's difficult to eat and grow crops and have food. And they could have also used this situation as an excuse to stop serving God, but they didn't. So the book of Ruth serves as a reminder that it is possible to practice goodness, obedience to God in the midst of evil and adversity. It can be done, and it must be done. And friend, I want to encourage you to live that way today. We don't have to just go along and get along with all of the evil in the world around us, but be different. So let's look at the four chapters of this book of Ruth just briefly this morning. Maybe our study will encourage you to read it from beginning to end. It doesn't take that long to read. And you might be encouraged to read the whole story there, but let's just survey a few things this morning. In looking at this goodness in the midst of adversity, let's begin with that. In chapter 1, Naomi experienced a famine and the loss of her family. She lost her husband and her two sons. And this no doubt would have been a great hardship, especially in time of famine. No food. You might have to sell your land and move, go to a new country. They went to Moab. And there are hardships in the loss of losing a husband and losing two sons. But Naomi did not let these bitter circumstances And she mentions her bitterness in chapter 1, 6 through 9. She does not let that become a problem. She didn't turn against God. She didn't let her bitter circumstances make her bitter toward God. And she's setting a good example for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Ruth also experienced the loss of a husband. And there are hardships. There are psychological and mental and emotional hardships when we lose a loved one, someone that we've been with. But she didn't turn against the God that she had converted to from being a Moabite woman who would have worshipped the gods of Moab, the false gods. She had come to believe in the one true God, and she was going to continue serving him. She lost her husband, but not her God. One of the well-known passages in chapter 1, verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee and to return from following thee, for whether you go, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Naomi and Ruth did not put their trust in material things or in family ties. When material things had been taken away from them in the famine, they continued to serve God. When family ties were taken from them, they continued to serve God. Job did that at the beginning of the book of Job. He continued to serve God even though material and family things were taken from him. And Christians today need to do the same. Christians who experience physical adversity and evil around them must not stop serving God. Jesus went through physical adversity, 1 Peter 2:18 through 25, and he committed himself to God. What if Jesus would have stopped serving God because of his adversity, especially in going to the cross? We wouldn't have salvation. Paul is another example. He lists in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, a number of adversities that he had to go through, physical persecutions and problems, shipwreck and being stoned and beaten and other things. What if Paul would have stopped serving God because of his adversity? 13 of the New Testament books we would not have, maybe. If he had just given up, we wouldn't have the teaching and the example of Paul. Adversity is not an excuse to stop serving God. It's an opportunity to draw closer to God. And friend, I want to encourage you to do that. It has to do with where our mindset and our priorities are. If our priorities are on material things and family ties and those things are taken away from us, then yes, our whole world is just going to be turned upside down and gone. But if our trust is in God, when those things are taken away from us, we continue to serve God. Adversity affects us only if our trust is in those things that are taken away from us. And that's why Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 to not be anxious and worry over those material kinds of things. Put the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. Serve God, put him first, Matthew 6:24. Don't try to serve him and physical things. So we see a great example here of where Naomi and Ruth have physical things taken from them and family loss, but they continue to serve God. It's a great example of goodness in the midst of adversity. But we also find that there is goodness in the midst of evil. Also, there are many people in Israel at this time. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, not because there was no law. God had given law. They had the law of Moses. They had rules and regulations to live by, but the Israelites didn't want that. So when you turn away from God's standard objective standard, then the standard that is left is your own subjective standard that is all over the place, whatever anybody wants to do. And it can become a very terrible place to be when you live by that mindset and when others live by that mindset that we're going to do whatever we want. It's going to cause some serious problems. And in the book of Judges, there is homosexuality. There's also an example of rape. Yeah, when you do what you want to do, there's going to be some moral consequences and some people are going to get hurt, physically and otherwise. But when you turn now to Ruth chapter 2, 3, and 4, the story of how, the part of the story of how that Boaz comes into the scene and takes care of Ruth and Naomi, makes sure that they have food to eat, eventually marries Ruth. You find that here's a man who's willing to follow God's law when other people around him are not interested in doing that. He was going to be devoted to God while others in Israel were serving idols. Ruth has already expressed her devotion. We saw that in chapter 1 and verse 16. Your God will be my God. Boaz also expresses his devotion. Chapter 2, verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Jehovah be with you. And they answered, Jehovah bless thee. They had he and his workers had a close relationship with God when others around them did not. Later, verse 12, Jehovah recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of Jehovah, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to take refuge. And there are other places where Boaz expresses his devotion to God. Naomi does in chapter 2 and verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of Jehovah, who hath not left off his kinsmen to the living and to the dead. These three could have shown a lack of faith in the one true God, but they did not. Ruth and Naomi were poor, but they did not let their poverty hinder their service to God. They needed something to eat, but they remained faithful. And Boaz was a man of wealth. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. He's called a mighty man of wealth, but he didn't let his riches hinder his service to God, as is often the case in Bible times and even today. And he had a love for family and relatives, while others in Israel were just serving self and sin. Ruth provided for Naomi in gleaning in the field. She was a worker and she was a provider. She's called a worthy woman in chapter 3, verses 10 and following. Verse 11 in particular, the city of my people knows that you are a worthy woman. Like the great worthy woman mentioned in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Ruth could have shown selfishness in her own situation, but she did not. Boaz could have shown selfishness in his situation, but he chose to have respect for God's law while others in Israel were doing that which was right in their own eyes. One law in particular that he respected was the law of gleaning, where you consider the poor and you leave some of the produce in the field so that they can pick that and have it for their own. And so in chapter 2, 14 through 16, he makes sure, in the following part of that chapter, verse 17, she went out and gleaned in the field. He followed the law of God for gleaning and taking care of the poor. It's found in Leviticus 19, Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 24. He had respect for God's law. He didn't say, well, I'm a mighty man of wealth and I'm going to get every penny out of every piece of produce I can. He followed the law and left it for the poor, and as a result, Ruth and Naomi had that which they could eat. Later in chapter 3 and 4, Boaz respected the law of the kinsman redeemer in marrying the next of kin. Law found in Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10, and so he marries Ruth. He could have said, well, you know, I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't have to mess with Ruth. She got herself into this problem, she and Naomi. It's none of my business. I'm not going to mess with that. She's going to slow me down. I'm a man of wealth. I can't let marriage get in my way. I can't let a relationship with a woman slow me down. I don't need marriage. I've got to pursue my career. I've got to pursue my money. But he said, no, I'm going to follow that particular law. Chapter 3, verse 12, after saying, I know that you're a worthy woman, and now it is true that I am a near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I, and he gives him an opportunity to marry. He doesn't want to, so he steps in and marries her. And you can read that in the rest of chapter 3 and on into chapter 4. But what we find is another example of goodness in the midst of adversity and evil. So, Ruth and Naomi have had physical loss and family ties that have been lost, and they're remaining faithful to God. They come back to their homeland. Boaz in chapter 2, 3, and 4, he's remaining faithful to God and following God's law. And so it's no surprise then that when we come to the end of the book, that goodness in the midst of adversity and evil is rewarded. Boaz and Ruth are rewarded with a good marriage, and they have children. They have a son named Obed, and he became the father of Jesse, who became the father of King David, and then eventually all the way down to Jesus Christ. Naomi, is rewarded also by having a son-in-law and grandchildren. Chapter 4, verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law who loveth thee. And that shows another characteristic of Ruth, who is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it. And the woman and her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. God will reward your goodness in the midst of adversity and evil. You need to become a Christian, friend. You need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. You need to live the faithful Christian life, follow God's word. You need to worship God on a regular basis if you're not doing that. And when you live that good and clean moral life, you'll be rewarded. How do we do good in the midst of adversity and evil? Well, we follow the example of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. Number one, we put our trust in God, not in material things or family ties. Paul says in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, that we're to set our minds on things that are above, not on the things of this earth. We have family ties, we have a job, we have material possessions, we have money in the bank, we have cars and homes and things like that, but our trust is not in those things. Our priority is not in those things. Those are just simply servants to help us get through life, but they're not our masters. And we put our trust in obedience in God's word. And we do what is right regardless of the situation around us. And when everybody is doing that which is right in their own eyes, we're not going to follow that approach to life, because it leads to self-destruction and the destruction of others around us. And we see that in our culture today. So number one, put your trust in God. Number two, devote your life to serving God, not to the idols of this world. Ruth left the idolatry of Moab. We are a living sacrifice. We are to be transformed and not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Devoted to serving God. Number three, you need to work hard. Ruth and Boaz were hard workers. Ruth was a hard worker to go out and glean in the field so that she and Naomi could have something to eat. Work hard. Idle hands are a devil's workshop. And we end up just simply being like the worldly people around us. Stay hard at work. Number four, respect God's law. These three individuals in this story, Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, they're all respecting God's law, following God's law. Fulfill your responsibilities toward God's law. Paul talks about, so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2. Know what that law is and be practicing that each day. If we'll put our trust in God instead of material things and family ties, if we'll devote our life to serving God, not the idols of this world, if we work hard, if we respect God's law, we will have that noble and honorable character. And as a woman, you will be a worthy woman, Ruth 3:11, or a worthy man. And you'll be rewarded one day. When we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, great is your reward in heaven, Matthew 5:11 and 12. Friend, can we help you to do that very thing? Can we help you to be good in the midst of adversity and evil? Let us sit down and study God's word together and see what we need to do to make those changes and be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Was the situation of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz really any different from our situation today? Not really. Their adversity was no less painful than our adversity is. Their evil in the world was no less immoral than ours is. As I mentioned earlier, there's an example of rape and homosexuality in Judges 19, 22 through 26, the period of the judges. We can stand up and be right. We can be good in the midst of adversity and evil. It can be done. It must be done. And if we'll have the same attitude of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, we'll find ourselves being good in the midst of adversity and evil. Can we help you to be good? Let's sit down and study God's Word together. Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Let's be good in this wicked world and evil world around us. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope that you'll have a good day.